Interview with Arsenio Arturo Garcia in Cotulla, Texas, and we were just going over that picture. Why don't we just do this other picture that you have here with other individuals, and that way we have most of the cast of characters, including a mad president or chair.
Well, okay.
Juan Maldonado, no? Let me see if I can get zeroed in. Okay. If you pull it just a little bit more, we get everybody in there. All right, go ahead.
Okay, this is during the Clinton campaign for president.
Which one?
The first one.
Okay.
The first election. And there was this caravan that came by and scheduled a one-night rally here in at Arsenio, in Cotulla. This is Mayor Joe Lozano, and then Leodoro Martinez, County Judge. I don't know this gentleman, he's from the Valley. And there's Juan Maldonado, Eddie Lucio, Senator Eddie Lucio, myself, County Commissioner Roberto Aldaco, and Jimmy Patterson, County Judge.
Okay.
At that time, Jimmy Patterson was a County Treasurer and Leodoro was a County Judge.
Okay. All right. When? I think that we were describing the way politics is now, how you campaign and how individualistic it's becoming or trying to be made, how everybody has to get paid now to do things. How about in the city itself? Is the are the streets all paved? Is there a sewer? Is there sidewalks? Do you have natural gas? Is the Little Red Store still the dominant store? Is there still massive unemployment?
Okay, there's still massive unemployment. And although if you look at the approved figures, we don't show that. But one of the reasons we don't show that, or the main reason, is because we don't have the Texas Employment Commission office in LaSalle County. So all of the figures, everybody that applies for work applies at other offices. And of course, there are a lot of people that don't apply for jobs through TEC or it's got another name now, because the way of acquiring jobs in Cotulla is really that Texas employment process doesn't apply to the general.
Where is the office?
Well, there's one in Carrizo and one in Pearsall and one in Laredo, but there is no office, and we've never had an office in Cotulla. So we don't have true unemployment figures. So yes, we just still have a massive unemployment rate. We have, as a major supplier for food now, we have a Super S in town. It used to be that we had a whole bunch of neighborhood stores, Red Store number one, Red Store number two,
and who
Red
was
Store
that?
Number three.
Who was that individual that owned them?
Well, Red Store number one was and continues to be owned by Reynaldo Garcia.
Okay.
Well, now his family, because he's deceased. Red Store number three was and number two were owned by Armando Garcia, but Red Store number three has been closed, two has been closed since, I would say, 20 years ago. And Red Store number three just closed in the last year because of illness in the family and no one to take over the business.
Oh, so who is Dan Garcia?
Dan Garcia was one of was a brother of Reynaldo and Armando Garcia, and he owns, well, now his son owns the store, Dan's Furniture Store, because Dan Garcia just died recently in the last 6 months.
And they have the propane business in this region,
no? They have the propane business also. Now the propane business is in Zavala, Dimmitt, Webb, and Frio County, besides La Salle. So they have extended their business.
Why doesn't the city build more lines so that everybody gets connected here in the
city? Well, the city has natural gas, and I would venture to say that 80 to 90% of the households are connected to natural gas.
Everybody got sewer now?
Everybody, we all have sewer. Let me backtrack. Here in this building that we're in now, we don't have sewer or or gas lines, and we're part of the city. This is our 11th year being incorporated, and we still don't have those services. So, but I would venture to say that the majority of the city has access to sewer and gas.
Well, how come this doesn't happen?
Well, for the sewer, they keep saying that it's too expensive because they need a lift station, and there are not enough connections to justify making it cost effective. For gas, they just don't have it, and no one has said anything. I have butane, propane, so I don't mind the propane bit. That's to my advantage, because the good part about propane is either if you don't use it, you don't have a minimum to pay. With natural gas, whether you use it or not, you still pay that minimum. And the only adverse thing about propane is during the cold spell, if you get if you run out of propane, you're lost. And the good thing about the city natural gas setting is that if
hey, we're back on.
The good thing about the natural gas is that if lines aren't frozen or someone doesn't sabotage your line, you always have gas if you pay for it. But there is a minimum charge, and whether you use it or not. And the propane, like I said, you know, if you use it, you spend it. If you don't use it, it's there. And the paved streets, well, when I was growing up, there were only 3 or 4 paved streets, and they were all on the east, west side of town. None of the barrio streets were paved. And I would say out of 100% streets in the barrio, I would say 60% or close to that are paved now. They're not paved with curb and gutter and all that, the fringe benefits, but at least we have paved roads. Physically, I would say that the city will be getting better because the city council has looked into and has actually paved some more streets in the last couple of years. And they do have plans of continuing and extending that program. Overall, from the time politics started way back in the 60s, late 60s, to now, the city is much better.
And these opponents don't see that? They still rail against what Rasonido brought or what Rasonido did?
I don't think that's really the issue anymore. It's just there's, because a lot of the people on both sides are very conscious of what's going on and what's needed. It's only the old mentality, the old factor that still exists, the old racist individual, that just because you're a Mexicano that you shouldn't get in. It's really not if you're any good or not, if you're qualified or not. It's only because you're a Mexicano, Chicano, and you should not be elected. But that mentality is being lost, fortunately, as time goes by. The new generation of kids are looking at issues. They're looking at, you know, who is good for the city or the county or the school and who's not. Although that element still exists, you know, and it's hard to overcome. But in the barrio, unfortunately, it's not, a lot of people don't consider qualifications. In the barrio, people consider who you are, if you're related to me, or if you're my compadre or comadre. We still, in the barrio, have not educated ourselves totally to look at qualifications. For example, the candidates that I've had in the recent past, we had one individual that was totally illiterate, that really could not function in the position of county commissioner because of the progressive setting and all the paperwork you have to read and interpret. But he came close to a victory because he comes from a large family, because he was a musician, and a lot of other factors. Besides the electoral being very weak at that time, because all incumbents were the target of people asking for jobs and no jobs being available. that year, the specific year I'm talking about, which was about 8-10 years ago, I would say a good 80% of incumbents lost. So I was lucky to win. But it's a setting where that, in the barrio, still a lot of us do not consider qualifications. We consider who is running and what their relationship is to us or someone that we know. And in the general picture, that's still the case in some areas. But overall, I would say that for a county judge's position, people look at qualifications. For a sheriff's position, people look at qualifications. But there's some positions that you don't have that.
Is the city, the school, the county, in terms of economics, better off now than it was before?
Economically, yes. I think that even individuals in our city and county are better off now, or have the potential to be better off now with what's available than 30 years ago when politics began for us here. Like I said at the beginning of the interview, the bank had no Mexicanos, Chicanos working there. Now, about half of the staff that worked at the bank are from the barrio.
Is that a result of the politics?
That's a result
of the politics.
You
created a middle class here?
It's a result, I wouldn't say a middle class, because the pay really is just ordinary pay. It's nothing extraordinary and when you talk about...
But relatively speaking, for Cotula, that would be middle class, huh? Because people don't have those pays or those jobs.
Well,
for $600 a month, regular.
For example, right now I would venture to say that the majority of the women that are working at the bank are at minimum wage or a little over. So I would not say that that's a middle class position. Now, when you get into the loan officer setting, we have one Mexicano that works there. And I would assume that his position is a middle class position when it comes to pay. But even, you know, we're still not where we need to be. But we have more people working in the places where no Mexicanos used to work before. We have a lot of people working with the county, for example, at the county level, that are not minimum wage, that are maybe on the verge of middle class positions, that were not working ever, did not have any opportunity to getting jobs at that level. We have a lot of, like I said, a lot of kids at the school that are offsprings of us, for example, of our generation, they're working there. And I don't know if you can term any teacher's salaries as middle class, but I would say they're in the $20,000 range. And those opportunities didn't exist before. We have people working with the city, like the city planner, the department heads, that all of those people used to be white, they used to be Anglos. So because of politics, that changed. And almost everywhere you look and anything you touch when it comes to jobs, yes, there have been an improvement. Of course, with the cost of living, a lot of times it's, if you, the factor is probably the same as it was before. But the pay and the good positions, some of them, a good majority of them are held by Chicanos.
How about the tax situation? Is the tax base declining? You have business shutting down and farms shutting down, and you have a downward spiral in terms of tax money, so you have to increase tax collections, and so you have to increase taxes to keep up?
Well, you know, all of the three entities that tax, property tax, they base their taxes on what they need to operate. The tax is reflected by you preparing a budget of what you need to operate that county, that city, or that school. And I can tell you that at the county level, we stay with a lot of things, without a lot of things that we need. When it comes to roads, when it comes to actual indigent services, when it comes to law enforcement, all aspects of the county, we have been pinching pennies since I can remember. So we have never had an overabundance of money because we try to keep the amount of money for that budget that we need at the lowest level. In the 21 years that I've been a commissioner, I would say that we have never gone over the allowable 3% raise, with the exception of one year when we had all this, the properties reevaluated under an appraisal district. That's when people felt it. But not because taxes went up, it was the valuations that went up. Or some of them went down. One thing that messed up the county, I remember, in every other county, was that you could not tax minerals anymore a few years ago. And farm implements and things like that.
They're exempt now?
Yeah. So...
Who pulled that off?
That's been... Well, for example, our valuations, when the oil setting went down, we lost some like $1.5 million of valuated taxable property. And a lot of the equipment is just exempt, or it wasn't appraised, or you couldn't find it to appraise it, whichever was the case. The city, well, the same thing now, but the city, the city of Cotulla, have gone up considerably, and the school district have gone up considerably. And that's people, you hear people always talking about those two entities. Now, when they ask us, why are your taxes higher? If you ask an individual that pays, let's say, $90, ours might go up $2 or $3, $7. But nothing major like the other two entities. But we try very hard to keep ourselves from doing that.
Is the downtown dead?
On a business-wise level, yes. In downtown area, you probably have in that two-block area, that one stretch of Front Street, which is considered the downtown area, there are only about 6 businesses, when you used to have some like 20-some businesses.
And how about businesses in the barrio, the barbershop, the villares, the cantinas, the little grocery stores? Are they gone or are they open?
Well, we only have one barbershop when we used to have 3, but because men now use hairstylists instead of barbers, you know, that's the only reason. Men like to get their hair cut by women, I guess, or something. And not very many people frequent the old barbershop like they used to when I was growing up. The thriving business still is the cantinas, but not as it used to be. At one time, Cotulla had over 30 cantinas. And now we probably have about 5 or 6. But it's still a traditional business in the community. But neighborhood stores, we still have about 2 or 3. We have restaurants, a couple of restaurants in the barrio, small mom and pop, you know, little restaurants. But that's fading, you know. Every year that goes by, you know, people considering closing because times are hard or the competition is too great for you to exist in the boundary anymore. One thing that we, at the county level, that we have discussed doing is there's a lot of people or organizations that inquire about doing housing projects, about doing this type of industry. And what we're doing now is whenever we consider a project, we try to split or see if people can split the project from this side of town, the east side of town, and also include something in the west side of town. Because we're gearing everything this way, and that area of town will die eventually if we do not look to the future and see that it's preserved in some way, fashion, or form.
And is this the magnet of the freeway, or?
Yes, this is where the freeway is. For example, the county has, next door to my property here, 67 acres, and we're trying to develop into business property. And there was a housing project that wanted to purchase part of the land, but the requirement that we had was, yes, we'll sell you part of that land, if you promise to buy the other half on the west side of town, east side of town, and have two projects. Well, to some people that's attractive and to some it's not. But we are still working on getting these developers to consider split programs so that the entire city can have growth.
Are the farms still in production for crops, or are they turned to deer hunting and?
No, the main crop here is deer and doves, javelinas.
What happened to the fellow that was raising buffalo in this county?
He's gone. He's gone. There's still a two or three people that have buffalo, but not any large numbers. Two or three here and there.
What was his name, do you remember?
No, I don't remember his name. It's been a while since he left.
Is the population increased or decreased?
It's increased. It's increased.
In the city or the county? Or
in the city and the county. And the reason, one of the reasons it has increased is because in the last few years we've acquired a 500-bed prison and a 54-bed detention center, juvenile detention center. So all of these places hire. And in just those two businesses, I would say very close to 200 jobs in the last 5 years. So we've had some influx of people moving in, especially people that work at these facilities.
Are you part of a community college district?
No, we're not.
Tell me about politics in the region, if you know, because you seem to be divided. Your congressman runs north and south. Your judicial seems to run east and west, or at least east. Your CAP agency and your War on Poverty and your Rio Grande Development Council is all to the west. You seem to be pulled depending on activity. So do you meet with other people? Do you travel? Do you know what's going on in, say, Tilden or Pearsall or Zapata or Cristal? And do you mix with Raza there?
Well, for almost everything, we're at the edge. Like for Middle Rio Grande, 9-county region, we're at the eastern edge. We're the last county east. For the judicial district, we're the last county west. You know, so we're either at one or the other extreme. But when it comes to politics and knowing what's going on in the area around us, we have a good and close relationship with people from Zavala County, from Rio County, from Dimmitt County, and even Duval County to the east of us, Webb County, because we see ourselves often in different functions outside of our county, whether it be South Texas Commissioners and Judges or Texas Commissioners and Judges conferences, or the IH-35 corridor. You know, we have different reasons why certain people from the different counties around us see each other fairly often. And that's, again, the progressive setting to be part of a group, a regional or South Texas setting, where we exchange ideas and cooperate with each other to try to acquire things for ourselves. For example, in the 9-county regional Council of Governments, we have a gentleman's agreement that nobody else had ever heard of, or no one else has. And this gentleman's agreement keeps the small counties in the picture when you acquire services, because things, if you traditionally would divide the money according to population and the traditional aspects. LaSalle County, for example, or counties like Real wouldn't be getting very much. So this gentleman's agreement sets aside a certain amount of dollars that is split equally. So therefore giving counties like Real and LaSalle and Zavala and some of us that are small counties more resources to work with. So through the Council of Governments, we have a regional association that that we work with, therefore knowing more or less what each one does in their communities. Through the, on the district judge and that setting, the judicial, I personally rarely have any real association with that. So I'm not aware of what judicially is happening in any other parts of the district. But when it comes to politics, we mutually have rallies, whether it be in Pearsall or Cotula or around the other cities. So when it comes to campaigns, you know, there's a lot of people around the area, the region that we work together with.
So which towns have now become Raza Control, moving north and moving east?
Well, Pearsall, again, when you're only talking about Mexicanos because of their last name, there's a lot of them. But when you talk about the progressive mentality of protecting and ensuring that discrimination doesn't exist and things like that, sometimes, even if you're a Mexicano in another setting and never been involved with discrimination, or you think you haven't, you don't really protect that, but at the same time you're a city councilman or a school board member, maybe just because you want to, and not because you have the desire to change things. But Pearsall has, both the school and the city has very good representation when it comes to the barrio. Zavala County also has very good representation, and they're like us, we're a majority. Dimmitt County, they're on the verge of being either way, you know, no se sabe.
How about this other way, toward Carnes, Floresville?
I don't know, Carnes City, Floresville. Three Rivers, I'm not involved with anyone there.
So you all seldom travel east, you go west and north.
Yeah, well, our
who's your state rep?
Out of Alice, Richard Raymond. Richard Raymond, the Safinini, the senator.
Of course, Raymond now is running for agriculture.
Right.
I mean, land commission.
For land commissioner.
So there's going to be a vacancy there.
Yes.
Maybe a Galoto should run.
No. Well, there have been some positions and some people that have talked about being interested in running for different positions. I really doubt that at this point Yoloto would want to take on that role. He might, I haven't talked to him. But yes, Richard Raymond is running for another position. I have heard in the past that Jimmy Patterson was interested in running for state rep, but I have talked to him personally and he does not feel that at this time he's ready, or he's not willing to put his family obligations and participation with his family in jeopardy because of him being out of town in a position like the state rep's position would require. So I don't know. There might be someone out there that knows more about Yoloto's intent, but I have not talked to him about it.
Of course, that doesn't pay well at all.
That's true.
So it's a big sacrifice. You gotta have another job.
And one of the reasons Jimmy Patterson decided it wasn't his setting is because of, you know, he has a business established here, an insurance business, and that will require him to not have enough time to do that. And he's got a very good agency going on for it here, insurance agency.
Is he the only one?
No, there's some other ones, but he's
the only Mexicano one?
There's another Mexicano, but he's not successful with the insurance setting.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we do travel more from Cotula west than we do from Cotula east. But like I said, we do know some of the officials from the different areas and whenever we see each other. But mostly the IH corridor, for example, is people to the west of us that have participated more. I think the people from Tilden and all those other cities to the east of us want the, what is it, the I?
37.
37 corridor. There's at least two efforts towards the east of us. And, but I know that there are Mexicanos representing their constituents in all those cities to the west of us also. I just don't have that much association with it.
Who do you think is our most effective organization, nationally or statewide?
Our most effective organization in general or for...
For Mexican Americans.
Well, right now, for La Salle County, I don't see anyone really, that we're participating with anyone at that level. We were and participated with the Mexican-American Democrats, and I felt it was very effective. When that split happened, you know, a lot of people lost interest in all of the process, because we were shooting ourselves in the foot, you know. So since that split, I think La Salle County has been at a standstill as to participation with any organization outside of La Salle County politically.
How about in terms of leaders, most effective Mexican-American leaders? Who are they in your opinion?
Locally or?
At any level.
At any level. Well, locally I would say that we're in the same situation here in Cotula, and in La Salle County we don't have any one leader. I think that when it comes to positions, like I said, you know, although in our own mind we might feel that we're individuals in the community, the community sees all of us as leaders. But there is no one que le puede decir como antes, anda con Arsenio y anda con Leodoro y te va a organizar todo. Right now, that's not the case. So locally, we don't have any real one leader. I think all of us are leaders, or leading our effort locally. When you talk about outside of La Salle County, I think that Leodoro would be the only appropriate individual that up to now, especially when he was county judge, would kind of be a regional or a South Texas leader. You know? And he was considered by other communities in the same light. And nada más con que he was hired by the 9-county region as a Council of Governments director, te dice que that was probably the case at that time. Ahorita I think that even at that level we're lacking, because he's busy doing something else. I don't see anyone out there trying to bring us together, any one individual.
Why was he double-crossed for that U.S. Marshal position? Who did it?
Well, on the thing that I know, we were all interviewed, you know, regarding Leodoro, what we knew about him. So I think that it just waited so long for the actual the process just took so long that he had either that position or the one he has now, and there was not too much difference in pay. And he always liked the Council of Governments position also, but of course he knew the prestige in getting a presidential appointment and an actual position with the district. It was a western district, and we are from the southern district, which is out of Houston, so that was a problem too. And then of course some of the politicos with the western district wanted someone that they knew and was from their own district. Therefore, I think that, well, that was part of it. But there was different aspects of different reasons why he did not have that position. Then he just couldn't wait around. He didn't want to wait around anymore. He was offered this other position, and it was a now or never setting. It's a very prestigious position, one that he can still help locally. So he used a lot of those factors deciding, well, you know, thanks, but no thanks. You know, I can't wait anymore. I'm taking the position over here. I don't know if anybody sabotaged his, the process that was used to get him into the marshal's position, but I think that the end, the reason at the end was that he couldn't wait around anymore. It was, it had taken months and months of his time, and they were scrutinizing him from top to bottom like they do everybody. That still didn't faze him that much, but it was just the amount of time that it was still required for him to get to the level of actually getting the job. And all of this time, you know, the Council of Governments was with an interim director waiting for him to make a decision whether he was going to be marshal or whether he was going to be interested in the position that he holds now. So I think that all those factors and, you know, that he could make a difference, continue to make a difference around the same area, created his desire to accept the position of Council of Governments Director. And he's still there. He's still, I just talked to him a few days ago. He says it's a lot of work, but he still has a lot of support for him to continue his employment with the COG. And that this COG is hard to work for. There's too many different characters in the game that sometimes make it difficult.
You two get along? I thought there was a little rift between you.
Well, no, we have always gotten along. One of the things that I didn't particularly like about his approach to politics, again, and we just talked about it, is the individual campaigns. When he started running his campaign for county judge, in his own mind he thought, and he wanted, and he kept advocating for individual campaigns. So that's when the individual setting came in, and I didn't particularly like that setting. We really have not had any major problems, although we do have disagreements on approaches to things. On how we acquire and do our political campaigns. On issues, I don't think we really have any major differences. I think we have the same approach to issues. And but we've never had any real, I think somebody blew up, you know, whatever he or I were saying about politics and the way we wanted to go about it. I know one of the problems that was created, well, I had an opportunity to be appointed sheriff, and he was one of the ones that derailed that effort. I didn't like his reasons, but that still didn't pull us apart. You know, I have always been the type of individual that wants to be progressive and part of the solution and not create a problem. And therefore, I feel that I was instrumental in keeping things together anyway, even though I didn't like the approach, even though I didn't like the fact that I was not appointed to that position and he was very instrumental in my not getting it. Again, with the county judge's position when he resigned, I was interested in that position too, and he was very instrumental in why not acquiring it. But still, you know, again, I'm the type of individual that I'm not out there for personal gains. You know, I love what I do for people. And if I have to continue being a county commissioner, I enjoy it. Although, as a county judge, I knew I could have that more one-to-one setting with people. And right now, I think that's lacking. Right now, you talk to a secretary the majority of the time. You don't talk to the man, just like when you call Southwestern Bell, you never talk to a person, you talk to a machine and have to punch in numbers. Well, you know, I wanted to continue an administration of that one-to-one setting that I love to do and that I think is essential. So in that respect, that's some of the disagreements that we have on how to do things. But we're very good friends, es mi hermano. Hasta with my own brothers, I have problems, but we're still brothers, you know, and we continue to have a relationship And I feel that we have a good relationship.
A very good relationship.
Effective state leaders, Mexican American.
Well, Zaffirini, she's a very effective state leader at the state level, although she's elected on a district basis. But I think she's a very super qualified individual that provides that necessary representation with them. Of course, we have disagreements with her too on certain things that she does, but I would venture to say that those are very minute. You know, the majority of the things she does, we agree with, or I agree with, is the other statewide leaders that I associate myself with. Why? It's more a general setting with me, you know. The ones that have more individual contact with a lot of other statewide people are Jimmy Patterson and Yoloro, and I mostly stay here.
National leader, most effective national leaders.
I think that Clinton is one of the...
No, Mexican American.
Was Horacio Rodriguez, that's the only one really that I associate with, that I have known for ages. Effective, well, I have seen some of the preliminary work that he's done or that he's doing. And I know that he's working very closely with veterans issues. I know he's working very carefully with local issues because he's had some town hall meetings just recently. And he's been asking for guidance. And I think he's going to be very effective for us at the national level. Of course, Henry V. Gonzalez, but he's old. He's not running anymore in the future. But I think he's been an effective leader. Bustamante did a lot of good for us. Of course, he hurt himself and us in the process. But he was an effective leader when it came to delivering, I would say right now that's all I can think of, because I'm more conscious of what goes on locally.
What are the most pressing issues for our community?
Jobs, healthcare, education. Lo mismo que existía 30 years ago, still, 40 years ago, still is a problem now. Economic development.
Why doesn't it get solved?
Well, the economy has a lot to do with it. But locally, it's just, we don't have the... If someone from the barrio wants to develop a business, it's almost like hitting a brick wall. You don't have the resources out there. You have SBA and, you know, guaranteed loans. Well, that's on an individual basis. But now you have all this population of people that want to work. Y no hay. O hay muy poco. O no paga suficiente.
I saw that convention center that says Alexander. Who's Alexander?
Alexander is he died about 10 years ago, but he left all this property and a lot of money. He was one of the major landowners in LaSalle County. A very successful rancher, big enterprise. And he developed this A.B. Alexander memorial after he would die, so that his name would not die with him. And in that decree that he made was that all of his money would go to purchasing different land for different projects in the community. A.B. Alexander Library, Memorial Library, that was built with 100% funding from his foundation. Ahora está el A.B. Alexander Civic Center, Convention Center. That's been about a between a half and a quarter of a $1 million program for that foundation. Now they're going into other settings, but supposedly the money is running out. Y nomás cierta cantidad de dinero is to be used, so I think the library is going to be on its own about in about 2 years after this expansion that they're going through. But essentially the man was just a rich individual. Okay, when he died, where before he died, he wanted to ensure himself that his name would not die with him. And it hasn't, and it won't.
Relations with Mexico, do you travel to Mexico? Do you have any contact with elected officials, any involvement on this NAFTA business or this 35 corridor, the bridges in Laredo? Or?
No, I personally don't have any real contact with that. Nomás con el IH corridor, whenever we meet on this side, that's totally a voluntary deal. We met in Laredo, San Antonio, Austin, places like that, and I have seen some of the counterparts from Mexico, but I can't say that I have any relationship with any of them yet. The bridges was just what I read in the paper, what I talked to about con the county judge from Webb County. Just recently I started making contact with the people from Eagle Pass because they're on the verge of acquiring a new bridge. My questions to them were using Laredo, that setting that exists now with NAFTA, you know, the congestion, you know, how are you using that as an example to plan your effort for a bridge? Y dijeron que they were looking at all aspects, como the commercial traffic and, you know, routing, how to get their streets in the city ready for that new bridge. But essentially on bridges, that's about the only contact that I've had, and that was just recent. I don't travel to Mexico anymore like I used to. At one time, we had developed a sister city setting with Vialdama, and so I knew some of the mayors and other officials in that area. And I knew some of the other officials from Nuevo Laredo and Monterrey, Cienega de Flores, places like that. But that's been in the past, and I haven't had any more relationships with anybody.
What pictures you got that we can film, or things you wanted to show that we put them on the recording device?
Well, I have a few pictures. This is one that's very dear to me. And this is a... This picture was taken and
hold up just a little bit higher, right there.
In 1970, in Uvalde.
Uh-huh.
And this is Roy Rodriguez, and we talked about him earlier, about him being a county commissioner. His wife, I think that's Father Smith. I don't remember his name.
No, that's not Father Smith. He's not Cheryl Smith. Maybe another Smith, but not Cheryl Smith.
I don't remember his name. He's still around here somewhere, active. And this is my wife, myself, and my two oldest son and daughter, Javier and Aide. But as you can tell, we have our berets on.
Yeah. Did y'all think of yourselves as brown berets, or is that the Mayo beret or Mayo button, or what?
That's the Mayo button.
Okay.
And but we participated with the walkouts. This was a walkout in Uvalde, I believe.
Right.
And of course, we already saw this one. Talking about migrants, you know, this is
a little higher up.
This is one of the pictures.
There we go.
The little kid in the
ladder.
In the ladder is me.
Uh-huh.
And then my mother and some of my primas and aunts.
Mm-hmm.
That was way back in the 40s. And then this is a picture. This is we also talked about this time. This is when I was mayor of the city of Cotula.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a picture was taken when I was going to sign the lawsuit against the city for the residency mm-hmm. setting that we had. Again, this is another picture of approximately the same setting.
A little higher.
Where we were migrants.
Mm-hmm.
It's my mother, Tio, primas, tios. And of course, I'm always in the picture. I have some other pictures. And some of these people are already deceased. But this is a picture of some of us going into the different bars to try to get people to get out to vote.
Mm-hmm.
We'd just go from bar to bar, and before people would start drinking, we'd pick them up and take them to vote.
Here, you don't have to take it out of the folder. I can undo this and get closer to you unless you want to.
Yeah, no, es que está muy pesado. This is also a picture that we used to, as you can tell, there's a sticker on the back of this man. It says Raza Unida de Texas.
Uh-huh.
This picture was taken in Plains, Wheeling, Illinois.
Wow.
1972, when I was elected mayor, all the way to 1982. Every year we had a 4th of July fundraiser in Wheeling at the Forest Preserve. And all of the people from Cotula that were migrants, and all of the people from Cotula or from the area that live up there would get together on the 4th of July of every year. And those funds we would come back with and continue the effort of politics. Again, this is another picture where we were at
another bar
trying to get people to vote. And we have a lot of other pictures, but I just don't have them with me. A good collection of my pictures and newspapers are at the UTSA archives that I need to get back very soon.
You're not going to get them back if you gave it to them.
No, the setting, I have not given them anything. I just lent them the information. And they're supposed to catalog it and send it back. They haven't done it yet, so. I have gotten some information on you.
That's there. My stuff is there.
And I have gotten some information on someone else. And I think they're writing up mine. So the majority of my material is up there.
Okay. You said in the box you might have a copy of that lawsuit on the mini riot, the charges against Martinez. What happened to him? Where is he living now?
He lives in Donna, Texas.
In Donna, Texas. Is he related to Leodoro?
Yeah, they're brothers.
Brothers.
Primos hermanos.
Well, wait, primos hermanos is different than brothers.
Son?
Primos hermanos is like first cousins.
Yeah. No, pero ellos se dicen hermanos. Pero son primos hermanos. This was the first organization that we used to have. Se llamaba Barrios Unidos.
Uh-huh.
This was the first vehicle that we used locally to...
That was for the adults.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were all young, pero...
No, but ya was clearly for the young people.
The last two chapters of the Rules of Four Radicals deals with genesis of tactics. Toda la información que agarrábamos at that time. Saul Alinsky, ¿cómo se llamaba?
Yeah.
Ahorita lo vi, eso era una subpoena or something. Right before you got here, lo vi aquí, aventé la caja para allá. put in time now. This is one of the invitations that I send out for re-election.
Oh, when you do your fundraising? Well, may I have this?
Yeah.
We'll put this in your archive. That you can start now at UT Arlington.
Pues tengo muchas cosas. No sé si puedo encontrarlas otra vez, pero.
Well, I'll be glad to take whatever you don't want to hang on to. But you really ought to deposit this stuff somewhere.
Call Rich for Congress.
Yeah? I remember that.
Cuando no había dinero para hacer este sample ballots, hacía yo mis sample ballots.
Oh, by hand?
Mm-hmm.
Each one?
Yeah, well, los hacíamos Xerox, pero.
Oh, okay, but still, you had to do it by hand in Xerox.
Mm-hmm.
So, you already ran the slate with Henry Pottis?
Yeah, como te digo, este, ya en ese tiempo.
And then he, so he turned completely full circle, huh?
Yep.
Wow. Well, you have more than one copy of that?
Sí, muchas.
Can I take one?
Fui a la National Convention in 1980.
As a delegate for whom?
For Kennedy.
Kennedy. Oh, look at all that stuff.
Yep.
Old sticker. Let me hold this one up for a minute. Well, there you go, yours. Do you have any more of these?
I think so.
Well, let's leave this aside, and if you do, because then maybe you consider giving me one for that archive of yours. State
Joe
of Moron. Texas. There you get close. State of Texas.
Just get Chicano vote out. Joe Moron campaign.
Joe Moron, is that guy out of Beeville?
Beeville.
Yeah. Isn't that a subpoena right there?
Okay, this is the Juan Cruz. Two indictments. Aquí tengo unos results de una elección. Esta es la elección que te digo cuando hubo el mini riot. Corrió mi papá.
Uh-huh.
Y nomás fíjate que corrieron en contra de puros gringos menos aquí. Este land que te digo que es County Commissioner.
Yeah.
Of course they all lost. Pero the result of this election fue cuando. Este es un newspaper que había. Escribía yo, el informador.
So this is the copy of that
mm-hmm.
two, three issues you said, no, informador.
Sí. This guy ran for sheriff.
Okay, we got some more stickers.
This guy ran for constable.
No, you can play those. Let me have one of those. Do you have any more on Ayala or Sanchez?
Yeah, I think I have one.
You have two on Sanchez. Can I take one?
Yeah.
There's three of them. And you have Ayala also here.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, tengo otra casa, yo creo, con la mujer. Esto es cuando corrió Leodoro, the mayor. See, he ran against the guy that replaced me.
Yeah.
Corrió Leodoro, this guy, Santuche, y sobrevivía. Y ganó, sobrevivía, y Leodoro en esa elección. No, Paul Rich, you know?
What is this newspaper?
Dolph Briscoe. John Hill. This guy ran for Precinct 2 County Commissioner, también.
Agapito.
He lost.
Why did he lose? Precinct 2.
He ran against someone that was very, very well known in Antinala.
You got two of them. Can I take one?
Yeah. And aquí está el initial, the copy del. Incorporation Pensinal where they, the people were requesting that the county judge just grant the people an election to vote for incorporation.
No. Just a receipt, postage or something.
It's the old drive-in theater that teníamos.
And did you own it?
Uh-huh. We still do.
Oh, is it, does it work?
I have all the equipment ready. I can go show a movie now. No pueden prendiendo la luz, pero está todo moroso, ¿verdad? Deteriorated.
And of course, nobody comes no more, no? Everybody stays home and rents videos.
We closed it a few years ago. Mira Mario Pompeán for governor.
Oh, wow, look at that. You got any more of these?
No, I think that's the only one I have.
Pues no salió él. El staff.
Lo vi. Nomás que andaba apurado. And remember glancing over it. Mira, este también corrió para Castro. Es el papá del sheriff de ahorita. Oh, estos envelopes created a big problem, you know, because the county paid for them.
Oh, the letterhead?
The county paid for them. Y me dijeron, no querían pagar el bill. Que porque it was not a legitimate expense. They said, why not? As a county commissioner, I'm going to be using these envelopes for my correspondence. Why is it not an allowable expense? No, que porque that's a raza unida. But still.
So did you get away with it?
Yeah.
Maybe a couple of them.
Yeah, well, they paid for it. Well, at one time, esto es lo que usamos para hacer los stickers, porque no había para hacer stickers.
You just buy the paper, yeah.
Esto nos lo donate out of Austin, de la oficina de, ¿cómo se llama? Era county commissioner.
You may have one of those, you got several.
Era county commissioner in Austin. ¿Qué que no me recuerdo se llama? Moya, Richard Moya.
Oh, yeah, Richard.
Ese, cuando él corrió la primera vez, ellos eran los que nos donaban.
Yeah.
Nos enseñaron silk screen.
Right.
Todo eso.
Well, he was a printer, no? He had a print shop.
Cira. contesting elections. Mm.
Did you have an election contest here?
Yeah.
Which ones?
Yeah, this is notice of the contest.
Luis Perez, City Council of 75. Mm-hmm. And Paul Cotula is the one that's challenged.
Yep. I think we answered that contest.
Where did it go in here?
See.
No, this is Sia.
5.0.
That's it, y'all.
Este fue cuando un gringo got into a problem con dinero.
Big ballot.
Yeah. Boleto del pasado. Cuando corrió José García, right in for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Tachaban el nombre de José. In fact, cuando lo vi, cuando fuimos a poll watchers en Joe Morón.
You ran for state representative, no?
Precinct convention. Housing authority. Esta water well, when I was elected mayor, we acquired this funding for this water well, pero como yo estar en el lado en nosotros del pueblo, and I was too young, and I shouldn't have ideas. Aceptaron el funding, pero lo cambiaron para un existing water well, que nunca sirvió el agua. Con mis notas que hacía cuando era mayor. This man was willing to sell this property to the city when they're not mayor for $20,000 for 4 years, four payments, no interest.
Wow.
The building is next door. Está pegado con el city hall.
Mm-hmm.
But because the letter was addressed to me, they didn't even consider it. Well, something like 6 years, 7 years later, they tried to buy it. Y el precio era $100,000.
$100,000. Gosh. Citation. Let's see, what is it? Casey?
Well, it's from
Summer Hill, okay, what does it say?
Summer Hill Apartments.
So this is over Texas.
Yeah. Yes, Joe Morón.
Yeah, that's over Texas. There is Kruger with Richter, with all the heavy duties. What year was this?
Fue como like 80.
Oh, Briscoe John Hill, so this would be 72?
No, not that old. I would say it's around 80, 78, 80.
Well,
No, Sico was...
Sico wasn't governor then, or John Hill.
In the last 70s, last part of the 70s, you were... Mm.
Ah, that's handy. Let's take a look at it, man. Huh? Oh, you got two?
Yeah.
One?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should have more of them.
And you made these yourselves also?
Yo tenía que hacerlo. Yo le escribía todo su campaign material.
You wrote this?
Uh-huh.
For him?
For him.
You got to be more than just political allies, you got to be buddies.
Oh, sí, instead of, no, to this day, hasta viejito, he still comes to see me. Es el letterhead I developed for South Texas Rural Health Policy, el letterhead que tuvimos.
Okay.
Fíjate, cuando me eligieron County Commissioner.
Those are all copies of the same letter. What is that all about?
When I was elected County Commissioner.
Mm.
Okay, dije del health care, del health, de South Texas Rural Health. Existía este proyecto, era la South County Migrant Health Project.
Mm-hmm.
Era una, la trailita, le decíamos. Era para puros migrantes. And in the period of time that Dr. Barton, as executive director de ese programa, had the program, nunca pidió más dinero y cada año le daban menos porque no lo usaban todo, porque no hacían casi nada. Él nomás agarraba su salario y no, la directora agarraba su salario, no importaba. Well, when I got elected as the commissioner, the very first thing I did fue con healthcare. Ya tenía una organización establecida y todo. So, when I tried to get a letter of recommendation from the county at one of my first meetings, el condado no quiso muy bien, no quisieron aprobar un letter of endorsement. So, se comenzó a desparramar la palabra en la ciudad que yo quería quitarle a la gente la clínica de los migrantes.
Mm.
Well, by the next meeting, pues yo tenía ya establecido también más información sobre the Rural Health Initiative Act,
right.
¿Verdad? Y que all of these programs would be phased out eventually into a Rural Health Initiative. Pues vaya que la siguiente junta que voy está lleno de gente.
No, they were all after you.
Toda la gente que estaba ahí eran puros migrantes. Y ahí estaba el doctor y estaba la directora. They didn't know that I had this letter. I think this is the letter. Well, I think this is the letter. Y dice, ¿verdad? Que ya no iban a tener migrant clinic. Tenía muchos problemas. Y... Oye, pues para explicarme con toda esa gente, porque se levantó la gente, la misma gente que me ayudó a elegirme,
mm-hmm.
¿Qué pasó? ¿Por qué nos quieres quitar la trailita?
Right.
Los dejé a todos que hablaran, ¿no? Yo no decía nada. Y ya traía yo mi material, ¿verdad? Traía una carta donde decía que as of April of the next year, ya no iba a haber funding.
Right.
¿Verdad? Y el doctor ni la directora nunca le había dicho nada a la gente. Entonces les dije yo, ¿ya hablaron todos? Pues que sí. Dije, Dr. Barton, do you have anything you want to say, Miss, ¿cómo se llama? Ya está en mi otro llamado yo. Pero todos hablaron, y yo nunca dije nada. Pero todos estaban enojados conmigo. Entonces me comencé a explicar, y dije, en primer lugar, le dije, este es un esfuerzo. Le dije, mire, ustedes ya no son migrantes. ¿Qué van a hacer después de que...?
¿Estaba hablando en español o en inglés?
En español, porque la gente, la mayoría de la gente era mexicana y no sabían hablar inglés. Y tú, ya no son migrantes, ¿qué van a hacer? después del 4 de abril del año que viene, ¿quién nos va a dar servicio?
No sé.
Le dije, Dr. Barton, have you explained to them who's going to give them service after next year? Well, we are. Well, with what funds? Dijo, with the same funds we're getting now and we've been getting for 10 years. Okay. Le dije, ¿ustedes? Le dije, ¿cuánto servicio está ganando? ¿Agarra dental? Pues que no, no, que agarra. Estoy preguntando. I mean, I knew what I was talking about. So I made people consider de que no nomás eso podían agarrar, sino que había más. Le dije, y les voy a decir que ni lo que tienen ahorita van a tener ya. Le dije, ¿les han enseñado a usted, señora Ramírez, la carta que está mandada a usted como presidenta del Migrant Board? Pues no, no me han enseñado ninguna carta. Le dije, ¿quiere ver una carta que está dirigida a usted y que está contestada a nombre de usted? Me enseñé la carta. La carta era un anuncio diciéndole al board que ya no iba a haber fondos después de abril, primero de 77. Okay. Iban a tener un año to phase out. Period. Ya no iba a haber nada. Le dije, y miren la carta, aquí está su nombre, firmada por usted, señora Ramírez. Yeah. Dice que ya recibió la carta y que está trabajando para cambiar a otro sistema o aplicar por otros dineros, ¿verdad? Para continuar el servicio a los migrantes. Y que usted firmó esta carta, dijo, no.
Wow, fue Brown.
Mira, pregúntele a Barton.
Bill Barton.
Y a la señora esta, ¿por qué no les dio esto?
Or forged it, yeah.
Es para el board. ¿Y por qué está esta firma de usted aquí? Y luego no se voltearon con ellos. No, se comenzó a voltear el problema. Dije, ahora, eso no es nada. Les dije, miren esta carta que traigo yo aquí del Rural Health Initiative, que comenzando el día que se acabe el funding de este programa que tienen, vamos a poder aplicar por $201,000. ¿Y para qué? Para migrantes y para toda la gente en general, on a sliding fee scale. Si usted gana cierta cantidad de dinero, tiene cierta cantidad de niños, va a pagar casi nada. $1 o $2 era el scale, ¿no? Y y los servicios para todos, including dental. Hombre, pues ya, yo tenía a mis amigos para atrás. Habían perdido faith in me for a few days, ¿eh?
Absolutely.
Pero como quiera los... Ahorita me recordé cuando vine acá. I have a lot of stuff. I have boxes and boxes of stuff. Tengo el Rio Grande Federation of Health Centers también.
Bien.
En el que estaba también Luz.
Tío, me baja a ver a preguntar el lunes, ¿te dice?
Hola.
No necesito nada.
Más que sea de volado.
Sí.
Alinsky, Rules for Radicals. I wonder who those were. County of Savannah. Must have been when you were judge.
Those all the same thing? Yeah.
Okay. ¿Quién sabe qué año sería esto? Well, I've got two of them. You could tell we didn't have anybody to type.
Well, you already were commissioner, so it had to be after probably 1980. There's a date there about 80. Minutes. No, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Cartas que le escribía a la gente. Contigo no es nada. Me estaban cobrando una cuenta de $155 esta señora.
Uh-huh. Ya se lee así para hacer el periódico, ¿no?
Sí, pues hacíamos periódico.
Uh-huh. Texas Migrant Council. ¿Were you involved there?
Sí. Did you want to take Texas Migrant Council? Yeah, that's what we thought about the superintendent, eh? At the time. Oasis Drive-In. That sounds like Crystal City. What is the Savannah County?
It sure is.
¿Dónde está la, dónde está la, la presa esa que, de los problemas?
La presa de los problemas.
Sí, ahí en Savannah County, una presa que ahora estaba en las noticias. Está en un rancho que es private land, y, pero que todo el tiempo lo ha usado la raza para ir a...
Todo acá, acá, el estero, right here, this area.
Uh-huh. Pues ahora apenas hicieron un... The judge les dijo a los dos lados, a los ranchers y a la gente, get together and... work out an agreement.
Or?
Or we go to court. Y la gente va a perder, algo así.
Why are they going to lose? It's been used by the public, hell.
Porque pues, el dueño está diciendo que,
so
que no es este...
But if it's been used by the public, too bad.
Yeah, I think they had already ruled de que si era private land.
No. Oh.
Ramon Chacon has lost him. I think we printed this in the newspaper. Mexican American Cultural Center.
Well, you gave it a good shot. I don't think it's in the files anymore.
No, sí, lo vi aquí. Por eso puse la caja. I specifically put the box up here. Las demás las mandé para que lanzaran. Y esta la dejé aquí. Porque vi ese... Dije, nos vamos a recordar del mini riot. Pero vale más dejar la caja. ¿De aquí dónde vas?
Pleasanton.
Pleasanton.
If you tell me how to get across.
Oh, es más fácil que te vayas. Más derecho, te vas aquí por el 97, como que vas para Corpus.
But where's 97?
You go back, you go into town, the only red light that we have, you turn left, this is 97. Y te vas y todo derecho vas a bajar.
Where's the street, up here?
Sí, aquí. Te vas por Lexus Road,
uh-huh.
Then you take a right. Y te vas todo derecho.
And you're
here. Gonna hit Los Angeles, Fullerton, y luego Carlota, y luego de ahí de Carlota, You can go to Pleasanton or Jordan. Va a haber un camino que es dividido.
Yeah, no. The only place I can get a room nearby, from, you know, obviously there's motels here and stuff, but in terms of the national chains, was a Super 8 in Pleasanton. Because okay. I got to get all the way back to Dallas. No es tan fácil, you know, to... But it's about an hour away?
Yeah, about an hour.
You want to have one of those?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go through the boxes here. Y a ver qué más encuentro.
Yeah, those go over there.
Este muchacho vino a hablar conmigo ahora pronto. Ayala. Desde entonces nos hemos vuelto a meter en política. No, este no, es el otro, Roberto. Ah, este Roberto, mira. Es que los dos se llaman Roberto. Y corrió para Constable, way back in the 70s. Y ahora quiere correr para County Commissioner.
Did you have two copies of that informador?
I thought this was the second copy.
Ah, there's two different issues, aren't there?
I'll probably have another copy.
You willing to part with it not knowing?
Yeah, I'm sure I have other copies. Fíjate, aquí fue cuando comenzaron a entrar los, ya los precinct chairs, los tres.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, vale.
Ok.
Más. El material de Henry Paz. Martínez costaba al probation. So we might be getting close. Aquí está la. Este es el cost number. State of Texas versus Raúl Martínez.
That's cost number 2815. Okay, 1973. George, Katie First Judicial District. 15. This is that the court has ordered all witnesses that you will not receive any further notice of or subpoena, so remember the date well.
Yeah, that's the way it was.
Good. So I guess you were someone of the witness?
Yep. Yo no sé, no estaba yo ahí cuando pasó. Just on hold. I guess that's what I saw entonces. And I just thought the rest of the lawsuit was coming. Yeah. Health care is a right, not a privilege.
An agenda.
Por varios medios.
That's good.
Tengo mailets y todo de las consultas que le daba. Estuve no, algo tenía eso. Oh, esta es la lista de jurors para el trial de Raúl. Of course, you'll notice que en los jury pools siempre había mucha raza.
Mm-hmm. But they all got disqualified, no? Or,
pues sí,
or
porque excuse. Todos conocían, o eran primos, o compadres, o algo. Y este, y nomás, en este trial, nomás quedaron puros gringos.
Wow.
Yo creo más un mexicano estuvo ahí. Este es mi hermano. Lo descalificaron luego porque era mi hermano. Y conocí, como somos cerca de Raúl. Todos estos puros conocidos.
Wow. You want to hang on to this? Or not?
No, go ahead, man.
Well, it'll be at the UT library. So in case of...
Births and deaths overall, Crystal City, Texas. Lo que me preguntaste es cómo trabajamos, si trabajamos con Cristal.
Yeah.
Yeah, este lado de statistics, ¿verdad? Que usábamos, you know, que acumulamos de todos los condados.
Mm.
We use the statistics de Zavala County.
Yeah, in Pearsall, the group was called Mexicanos Unidos, remember? This was Barrios Unidos, in Cristal was Ciudadanos Unidos. Mm-hmm. And in Robstown, it was Familias Unidas.
TRLA. The Crystal City branch of TRLA.
See, but we started at Oficina de la Gente before there was a TRLA.
Yeah.
And then... it switched over.
No tenían date, so los usé varios años.
Oh.
In fact, I could still use them now.
Yeah, well, pull them out.
Lena Guerrero. Yo creo que esa es la misma, no, esta es otra.
¿En inglés?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, chief.
That's what I have in this box.
Well, let me thank you for the time on the interview.
and all the wonderful information that you're sharing with us and that we're going to put in the archive. This will take about a year before it gets completed.